Thank you. Ambassador Mike Huckabee had a meeting with Jonathan Pollard, a former U.S. citizen who was convicted and spent 3 decades in jail for selling state secrets to Israel. Did the White House know that that meeting was going to happen? Does the administration condone it?
The White House was not aware of that meeting, but the president stands by our Ambassador Mike Huckabee and all that he's doing for the United States and Israel.
This is my video update on this Friday afternoon, November the 21st, coming to you from Athens, Greece. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with the announcement from the Russian military, from Gerasimov himself, to Russian President Vladimir Putin, that Kupiansk has been liberated. Those are the words that the Russian Ministry of Defense uses. Those are the words that Gerasimov used in describing the situation in Kupiansk. Russia has captured the very important city area of Kupiansk. And he told this directly to the Russian president. And Putin, he was meeting with the commanders of the West grouping, as Gerasimov was telling him about the situation on the front line and the news about Kupiansk. And Putin told those in attendance, the commanding officers of Grouping West, that, and I quote, "This is not a political leadership of Ukraine. It's a criminal gang that holds power for personal enrichment. It's clear to everyone that these people sitting on their golden potties are hardly thinking about the fate of common people in Ukraine or the fate of ordinary soldiers." The golden toilets, sitting on their golden toilets, these leaders in Ukraine, obviously referencing the whole golden toilet scandal, the $100 million energy golden toilet scandal. Putin saying that these people are just a bunch of criminals. And Putin says all of this at the same time that he called them a criminal gang. A criminal gang. That's even worse than a bunch of criminals. A criminal gang. He's saying all of this at the same time that Trump's 28-point peace plan has been made public. It's been made public by Ukrainian MPs, or a Ukrainian MP who got a hold of the 28-point peace plan, and they published it. Ukraine, and now it's been picked up by just about everybody. The New York Post, they reached out to some U.S. officials, some White House officials, who confirmed to the New York Post that this is the piss plan, the 28-point piss plan, Podolyak. And then it really is a piss plan, to be quite honest. And they confirmed that this is indeed the plan that the Trump White House has put together and that they are presenting to Ukraine. And according to the Financial Times, they are expecting Zelensky, they're pushing Zelensky to sign this plan by Thanksgiving. And then, with Zelensky's signature, they're going to take this plan to Moscow, is according to the NYP. And when you go over this plan, you understand why the Russian Foreign Ministry yesterday put out a statement saying that we have not received any plan coming from official channels. We don't know what you're talking about, at least through official channels. There has been no plan presented to us. And I know why they said that, because this plan is horrific, man. It is a dumpster fire. It is bad. It is bad, man. To be honest, Ukraine doesn't like it. The Europeans don't like it. Actually, the Europeans are already rejecting it, and they're going to put together their own counterplan. They're going to put together a counterplan, Kaya Kallas. She's going to put it together with crayons. Crayons. Coloring in between the lines, Kaya Kallas. That's how she's going to put together the counterplan. But yeah, Ukraine. They are already saying that they don't like it, even though Zelensky said that he's going to work with it. He's going to speak with Trump, and he's going to work with Trump based on this plan. But the Kremlin has not said too much. You have the statement from Zakharova yesterday saying that we received nothing. And I'm sure they had a look at this plan, and they said we need to get some distance from this, as the Russian Foreign Ministry. And today you had Peskov, who also issued a statement saying that the Kremlin does not know what the media reports are based on, that the U.S. expects Kiev to sign Trump's peace plan by November 27. Basically, Peskov is saying we have no idea what's going on with Zelensky signing some plan by the 27th or whatever they're talking about. The media, we've not received or don't know anything about this. But it is no coincidence that I don't believe it's a coincidence that as the piss plan is making its rounds around the media, that you get the announcements about Kupiansk, and then you get Putin basically calling for regime change. Right? He's basically saying, "Look, we're going to continue forward with the special military operation. We're going to accomplish our goals of the SMO, and we're going to remove this group of criminal gangs." This criminal gang in Kiev that sits on golden toilets. So I think that's the message from the Kremlin, which is going out to the collective West, going out to the Trump administration, which is that this plan is not even anywhere close to root causes. June 2024, we're just going to continue to push forward, and this government in Kiev, at least for us, has to go. So let's discuss the 28-point peace plan. We did a good video of this on the Duran, me and Alexander, which will be up today. And we did a good breakdown of the peace plan. And Alexander brought up a couple of really good points. He brought up a lot of good points, but I think two points really stood out in that conversation. So definitely check out the video on the Duran, on the plan. But Alexander mentioned that, or at least he thought that, there's probably more than one Trump peace plan floating around. And the reason he's saying this is because it looks like this 28-point peace plan was a plan that Witkoff, that the U.S., Witkoff, in discussions with Dmitriev, kicking around some ideas and writing those ideas down, right? Putting some stuff down on paper. Then the U.S. takes this to Umerov, and the New York Post is actually reporting that Umerov, he played a role in putting together these 28 points, or at least changing a lot of what was discussed between Witkoff and Dmitriev as they were putting together some ideas for discussion. And then Alexander brings up another good point, brought up another good point on that Duran video, which is that if this 28-point document was just a document to discuss things going forward between the United States and Russia, a discussion document, if that's what this was, and say the United States told Russia, look, our guys, Witkoff, Dmitriev, they put together some things in this document, 28 points. Let's discuss it over the next 2 years. I think Russia would be positive on that. over the next 2 years, let's talk about these things. But the way Trump is presenting this is he's presenting this as the plan to end the conflict in Ukraine, not as a discussion document, not as a document where Russia and the United States can talk about things and try to resolve certain issues, either connected to Ukraine or not connected to Ukraine, because there's a lot in the document that has nothing to really do with Ukraine, but it's in there for some weird reason. And if this was just a discussion document, which could be talked about for 2 to 3 years, then that would be cool, right? Of course, the conflict would continue. Russia would continue to advance. But this would be a document that the United States and Russia would use to further along their bilateral relationship, right? But that's not what this is. The Trump White House is putting this forward as if it's some sort of, as if it is, the ceasefire plan that they're going to work with, that they're going to present to both parties. And there probably are a couple of other documents floating around there, which the Trump White House has put together. And this one that we're seeing is probably the Umerov document, where he had a lot of input into it. There's probably a document that exists before Umerov made his amendments, right? But if you compare this document to what I was talking about yesterday, and all of the points that the media was leaking about the U.S.-Russia negotiations, if you compare this document to everything I was talking about yesterday, man, the points from yesterday were 1,000 times better than what's in this thing. Even the report from the Telegraph, which said that Russia is going to rent the Donbass, is better than the stuff that is in this 28-point peace plan, if you can believe it. There are some points, to be fair, there are some parts of this plan which are favorable to Russia. There are some parts which are favorable to Ukraine. But you know who the document is most favorable to? It's the United States, man. This is a U.S. victory plan. That's what this is. I posted on X that this 28-point peace plan, what it really is Ukraine capitulating to Russia, Russia capitulating to the United States. That's what this is. And the United States being the victor. Or you could look at it as the Trump administration inviting Russia to re-enter the unipolar world. But Russia has to do certain things in order to get re-entry into the unipolar world. And that's all in this document. This document sets forth the conditions that Russia needs to fulfill in order to be allowed entrance back into the unipolar world and to become a vassal of empire, right? Anyway, it's an incredible document. This is actually my clown world. The document is my clown world. I have another clown world lined up, but this is my main clown world. No doubt about it. Let's jump into it, huh? Let's get into this mess, this hot mess. Let me pull it up here. Let's see, Ukraine MP publishes reported terms of new peace deal. So let's go through this point by point very quickly. I'll go through this very quickly point by point. Here's the full text of the post. Ukraine sovereignty will be confirmed. A full and comprehensive non-aggression agreement will be concluded between Russia, Ukraine, and Europe. All ambiguities of the past 30 years will be considered resolved. I notice that the U.S. is not in point two, Russia, Ukraine, and Europe. The U.S. has positioned themselves in this document as the neutral mediator. Keep that in mind. They are the neutral mediator in this document. And to the mediator go the spoils, and you'll see what I mean. Point three, it is expected that Russia will not invade neighboring countries, that NATO will not expand, that NATO will not expand further. Okay. A dialogue will be conducted between Russia and NATO, mediated by the United States, to resolve all security issues and create conditions for de-escalation, blah, 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 right? The United States mediating between NATO and Russia. It's laughable, right? It's laughable. Ukraine will receive reliable security guarantees. Doesn't get into any detail. That's another thing about this document. This document does not get into any real detail about anything. And in a lot of parts, the document contradicts itself, right? It contradicts points that it made in further up in the article. If you go further down in the document, points made in the beginning of the document are contradicted further down in the document. It's a hot mess, man. It is just a complete mess. The size of the armed forces of Ukraine will be limited to 600,000 personnel. I think that's more. That's going to be a bigger army than what Ukraine has at the present moment. So I don't see how that's beneficial to Russia. That's not demilitarization in any sense of the word. Ukraine agrees to enshrine in its constitution that it will not join NATO, and NATO agrees to include in its statutes a provision that it will not accept Ukraine in the future. Okay, trust me, bro. Ukraine's never going to go for this. They're never going to enshrine in their constitution that they're not going to join NATO. And the document basically says, trust us when we tell you that NATO is not going to allow Ukraine in. Just trust us. We'll put it in our articles. And, you know, it's solid. If it's in our NATO articles, then you can believe us. Right. NATO's not going to expand any further. Yeah, trust us. We promise NATO's not going to expand any further. NATO agrees not to deploy troops in Ukraine, whatever that means. Okay, trust us there too. Trust us. We're not going to deploy troops to Ukraine. And by the way, European fighter aircraft will be stationed in Poland. Aircraft is already stationed in Poland. I don't understand that one either. U.S. guarantees the United States will receive compensation for the guarantee. And then it goes on to explain U.S. guarantees. The U.S. is going to get paid for it, by the way, because they're the neutral mediator, and to the neutral mediator go the spoils. So they're going to get paid for guarantees, whatever that even means. Ukraine retains the right to EU membership. Okay. So EU, NATO, same thing, but Ukraine goes into the EU, even though the EU has stated multiple times that they are rearming in order to attack Russia. So the EU is saying we're rearming to attack Russia. We're working with NATO as well. We're working side by side with NATO. We're building an EU army, and we're going to start a conflict with Russia in the next three years. And this document says that Ukraine can join the EU. Okay. A powerful global package of measures for reconstruction of Ukraine, including but not limited to a Ukraine development fund. Okay, it talks about the development fund. The United States will cooperate with Ukraine on the joint reconstruction, development, modernization, and operation of Ukraine's gas infrastructure, including pipelines and storage facilities. So basically, the United States is going to get all of the gas. It's going to make all of the money from the energy and the gas. To the neutral mediator, go the spoils. It talks about infrastructure development, which the U.S. is going to benefit from. Extraction of minerals and natural resources. The U.S. is going to get that as well. The World Bank is going to be cut in on the action. Russia will be reintegrated into the global economy. There you go. That's code for we'll allow you back into the unipolar world. The United States will conclude a long-term economic and cooperation agreement aimed at mutual development in the fields of energy, natural resources, infrastructure, the Arctic, etc. So they're also going to get a cut of Russia's natural resources. So they're going to get the Ukraine's natural resources, but they're also going to get a cut of Russia's natural resources. Frozen assets will be used in the following way. $100 billion of frozen Russian assets will be invested in U.S.-led reconstruction and investment efforts in Ukraine. The United States will receive 50% of the profits from this undertaking. Europe will add another $100 billion to increase the total investment available for Ukraine's reconstruction. Okay, so the Russian frozen assets. Basically, those frozen assets will go into reconstruction of Ukraine, and the U.S. is going to get 50% of those profits as well. And then Europe's going to put in another $100 billion. And the U.S. is just going to be taking profits from all of the Russian frozen assets, which Russia will never go for, allowing their frozen assets to go into reconstruction, reparations, reconstruction, whatever. Russia has said 1,000 times that this is not going to happen with their frozen assets. But the United States is saying, look, put your frozen assets to reconstruction. Also, we're going to take 50% of the profits from this endeavor. So the Trump White House is making money on this, man. They are making money on this. What else? A joint American-Russian working group on security issues will be established. Okay. Russia will legislatively enshrine a policy of non-aggression towards Europe and Ukraine. Okay. The United States and Russia will agree to extend the validity of treaties of the non-proliferation of nuclear weapons and arms control, including START 1. Why is this even in here? Why is START, which is super important, why is this included as a bullet point? Doesn't make any freaking sense at all. I mean, this is renegotiating START is a whole different, huge, massive process in and of itself. But they just throw it in there. Just throw that in there as well. Just throw it in there. I like it. I like it, Witkoff. Throw START in there as well. Oh, boy. Ukraine agrees to remain a non-nuclear state. Okay. The Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant will be restarted, and it'll be split 50-50. So basically, the giving up of the ZNPP is basically what this is saying. Both countries undertake to introduce educational programs. So here it gets into some of the language issues. The protection of minority rights says that minority and religious tolerance will be protected under EU rules. Okay. EU rules. Yeah, because those EU rules protecting people have worked out so well. Right. Okay. Yeah, that's not going to work. They don't mention at all the Orthodox Church in this. They don't even say that the Russian language will be an official language in this document. So that's going to upset Russia. They do say that the Nazi ideology and activity must be rejected and prohibited. All Nazi ideology, it says all. So Ukraine's going to argue that Bandera had nothing to do with the mustache man. That's what Ukraine is going to say. That's what they've always said. They've said that Bandera really had no connection to the mustache man. So that's what they're going to argue. Also, don't forget that the United States, Ukraine, the collective West, they have voted consistently over many years in the United Nations against the resolutions condemning the NAZIs, right? NAZI ideology. Every time there's been a resolution in the UN condemning NAZI ideology, the United States, Ukraine, and their collective West vassals have voted against these UN resolutions. Now, all of a sudden, they're saying that all NAZI ideology and activity will be rejected and prohibited. I'm telling you, Ukraine's angle in this is going to be, you know, Bandera had nothing to do with any of that stuff. That's what they're going to argue. Territories, this one is, oh man, this one is something else. Territories. Crimea, Lugansk, and Donetsk will be recognized de facto as Russian, including by the United States. It doesn't mean anything, de facto. Not de jure, de facto. Okay. It doesn't really mean much. By the way, in this document, at the end of this document, it says everything will be legally binding. Under international law, it'll be legally binding. Well, then how do you... Alexander brought up this point in our video on the Duran. How do you have de facto recognition as well as having this document be legally binding? The two don't make sense, right? You can't have this document be legally binding under international law and then also say that we de facto recognize Crimea and Lugansk and Donetsk. Doesn't make any sense. Kherson, Zaporozhye will be frozen along the line of contact, which will mean de facto recognition along the line of contact. Basically, the Russian constitution, the referendums on Zaporozhye and Kherson, forget about it. Where you are right now is what's going to be the contact line. That's going to be the freeze. So that's not going to fly. In Russia, it's not gonna fly with the Russian Constitution, right? What else? Russia renounces other territories. Here it's talking about Kharkov, Sumy, Dnipropetrovsk that it controls. So it's gonna pull out of whatever other territories it's present on. And Ukrainian forces will withdraw from the part of Donetsk Oblast they currently control. This withdrawal zone will be regarded as a neutral demilitarized buffer zone, internationally recognized as territory belonging to the Russian Federation. Russian forces will not enter this demilitarized zone. This part is rich. This is something else, man. You got to hand it to the Trump White House. I like that one a lot. You got to hand it to them, man. Oh, boy. Basically, Russia doesn't even get Donetsk in this scenario, right? De facto, we recognize Donetsk, de facto, as part of Russia. But where you are right now, where the contact line is right now in Donetsk, that's going to freeze. Ukraine leaves the part that it controls in Donetsk. Let's say Donbass. Ukraine leaves the parts that it controls in Donbass. And while we recognize this as being de facto part of Russia, not de jure, de facto, it's going to be a demilitarized zone. The parts that Ukraine pulls out of is going to be a demilitarized zone. So basically, Russia does not actually control Donbass, because there's going to be a 20% chunk of it, which will be considered a DMZ. What else? It talks about some other stuff here that I don't think is very important or worth discussing. I mean, it's important, but, you know, I'm not going to get into all the details. Point 20.22, future territorial arrangements agreed. 23, Russia will not obstruct Ukraine's commercial use of the Dnieper. A humanitarian committee will be created. Okay. Point 25, Ukraine will hold elections 100 days after the agreement is signed. Okay. Point 26, all parties involved in the conflict will receive full amnesty for actions committed during the war and will undertake not to file claims or pursue complaints in the future. This is an interesting one because, according to the New York Post and the Wall Street Journal, this is the one clause, the one bullet point in this document that Umerov completely changed around. We're talking just completely dismantled and redid the whole thing. The original bullet point said that there was going to be an investigation and an audit as to everything that happened in Ukraine over the past, you know, 3-4 years. Everything that happened in the war, there would be an audit, including financial stuff that went on in Ukraine. And then Umerov said, no, let's just grant amnesty, just blanket amnesty to everybody. Right? We don't want any audits. And so that's what they went with. The media, in their very deceptive way, man, the media is so deceptive. They're saying that this bullet point is to the benefit of Putin. And the way they're spinning it is they're saying, oh, Putin has the ICC warrant and there were going to be tribunals set up and now he's going to get amnesty? How could this be? This is an outrage. Where the truth is that this has nothing to do with Putin or the ICC or tribunals or any of that stuff. What Umerov was concerned with was the financial investigations, and he did not want any type of audits being mentioned in the document. And instead, he said, let's just have blanket amnesty and immunity for whatever happened, war crimes, financial crimes, whatever. Let's just have blanket amnesty, crimes against the church. And that's what happened. Let me read you actually what the New York Post is saying about this. One of the most politically explosive provisions calls for full amnesty for all parties involved in wartime actions, eliminating any future legal claims over battlefield conduct. That item, one of the senior White House officials said, was proposed by Kiev. It had previously stated that Ukraine will conduct a full audit of all aid received and create a legal mechanism to recover any errors found and punish those who illegally profiteered from the war, the person said. And Umerov took it and he changed it all around. That's what that clause originally said. So that one's an interesting one. End point 27, the agreement will be legally binding. Oh, and this is great. It's going to be legally binding. Point 28 says, once all parties have agreed to and signed this memorandum, the ceasefire won't enter into force. Okay, the really good part, the cherry on top of the 28-point peace plan cake, the cherry on top to this whole thing
is that there's going to be a peace board created. That's point 27. There's going to be a peace board, and guess who is going to be chairman of the board? Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Trump becomes chairman of Ukraine when all is said and done. It's ridiculous, man. A peace council headed by President Trump. Oh, boy. It's a fantastic clown world, this one, huh? Axios is reporting that the security guarantees, not in this plan, there are going to be security guarantees that are not in this plan, which state that Ukraine is going to have some U.S. NATO-style security guarantees for a period of 10 years. So if there's any type of an invasion or an attack on Ukraine, then the U.S. and other countries in the collective West are bound by this security guarantee, which is very much like NATO. So an attack on Ukraine will be an attack on everyone. And that's basically a security guarantee that Axios claims is not in this plan, but is in the plan. You see what I mean? Where I'm saying there's probably a bunch of different 28-point peace plans. I think Alexander is right. I think Axios has probably seen a document where there's a point in there which says that there will be a NATO-style 10-year security guarantee for Ukraine. While in the document that was published by the MP of Ukraine that is making the rounds, that provision is not in the document. So this is chaotic, man, from the Trump White House. Why is it chaotic? Why is this thing so chaotic? Why is this such a mess? Why is this such a dumpster fire? Because no thought was really put into this, man. These are talking points. These are talking points. This is not a peace plan. This is not a ceasefire plan. This is not a treaty. This is not anything like that. Everything that I've read to you and everything that is probably in other plans floating around, being given to various other parties, these are talking points for discussion. But in a hurry, it looks like the Trump White House, they wanted to get Zelensky to sign something. Just sign something by Christmas, and then let's take something to Russia, and let's see if we can get one of two outcomes. This is what I think is really going on. One of two outcomes. Either we actually get Russia to sign this and to agree to this. That's option number one. they actually sign this thing, in which case we are the winner, right? The Trump White House wins big. Or option number two is that we get, it doesn't even matter if Zelensky signs it or not, now that I come to think of it. Option number two is that Russia rejects this, whether Ukraine signs it or not, they reject this. And then we put out the narrative that Russia does not want peace. You see, I put together the most beautiful peace plan. It was 28 points. It was beautiful. There's never been a peace plan like this in the history of the world. This was the most beautiful peace plan ever in history, and Putin just rejected it. So, you know, they can put that narrative out there, right? And then that's going to lead to a renewed cycle of escalation and sanctions and stuff like that. So that's where this thing is heading towards. And of course, if Russia actually agreed to this, then it would stop the collapse on the front lines, right? Because what's driving all of this is the situation on the front lines. The Ukraine military collapse. That is what is driving this frantic, chaotic push from the Trump White House to try and get something resolved when it comes to Ukraine. And if they can't get something resolved, then you go the route of the neocons and you escalate further on the premise that Putin does not want peace. And that's what you go to the American people with. You see, Putin does not want peace. So we're going to have to invest more into Ukraine and escalate more with Ukraine. Otherwise, we get lucky, Russia falls for it, and we stop the collapse, right? Minsk 3, we stop the collapse. And then we can rearm and
and rebuild and go back at them 3 to 4 years later. Sure, Ukraine is not going to be part of NATO, but it's going to be part of the EU army, right? And they're going to have 600,000 troops plus 600,000 mercenaries, whatever. So that's the plan. That's what's going on here. That's what I think is going on. It's a complete chaotic mess. So the UK, they are ready to deploy troops to Ukraine, according to the Defense Secretary. The minute that this plan is agreed on, then the UK is ready to put boots on the ground. Whatever, bro. Okay, Secretary of Defense John Healey, or whatever your name is according to Bloomberg. The UK is ready. They're ready to send all 100 troops to Ukraine if this peace initiative is agreed on by the Russians and by Ukraine. There you go. There you go. The church bells. What else? Sweden, the foreign minister, Maria Stenergard, she has realized, this is amazing. This is amazing. She has realized that the European Union is buying Russian energy. Oh my God. What are you talking about, Maria Stenergard? Yeah, she realized that the European Union is buying Russian energy, 124 billion euros. Received 124 billion euros more from the EU during the special military operation. Russia has received 124 billion more from the EU during the special military operation than Ukraine. I butchered that one, said the Swedish foreign minister, Maria Malmer Stenergard. And she even brought a chart. She brought some visual aids with her. What a revelation. So her argument was, we're not taking the 140 billion in Russian assets, the 135.7 billion. We're not going to steal those assets to give to Ukraine. And by the way, we've given Russia 124 billion more from energy purchases than we've given to Ukraine. That's her case for stealing the Russian frozen assets. Let's bring them even. Let's steal the assets and just make it even, Steven. She doesn't mention that Europe had to buy that energy in order to keep Europe going, right? Keep everything running. Or try to keep everything running. The factories, the cars, the buses. Food, water, I don't know. It's not like they gave Russia 124 billion. No, they use the energy, they use the gas, they use the oil. What's Zelensky going to do with the 135.7 billion? What's he going to do with that 135.7 billion? How many golden toilets are we going to get? Anyway, should I wrap it up? From Bild, hundreds of thousands of new jobs in Germany, all coming from NATO rearmament. That's right, Germany. It's a good thing that there's going to be a big rearmament. We're going to create a lot of jobs. Hundreds of thousands of jobs. Hundreds of thousands of jobs. And then you're going to be sent to the front lines with Russia, with those shiny new jobs. A lot of good those shiny new jobs are going to do for you, those hundreds and thousands of jobs from rearmament. Give more money to Rheinmetall. That's the message. Give more money to Rheinmetall. We're creating jobs. Oh boy, a crypto meltdown is taking place, 120 billion in losses. a big wipeout on the stock market in the U.S. The golden age. We are living in the golden age. We are. It's the golden age. Golden toilets. So let's do a clown world. And we can finish this thing. From Le Monde, Ukraine, the danger to Europe of a Trump-Putin axis. It's a Trump-Putin axis. Don't buy any of it, man. A Trump-Putin axis. They know that this deal is not good for Ukraine, at least the way they see it. But they know that this deal is definitely not good for Russia. But they're packaging it as if it's good for Russia, right? Because they want to blame Russia. That's what they're trying to do. They want to blame Russia for the fact that this thing is going to be DOA. So they're making it as if this is completely favorable to Russia. These are all of Russia's points that are included in this plan. No. Not at all. Yeah, let's make a DMZ of Donetsk. Yeah, let's just make a DMZ of Donetsk. It'll be a demilitarized zone, sure. Why not? So in France, the head of the French military, he gave a speech yesterday, and he said that France should prepare to lose its children in a potential war with Russia. I'm going to play you the video of France's top general, Fabien Mandon, who said that France must be ready to lose children in a potential conflict with Russia. He claimed that if France is not prepared to accept to lose its children, to suffer economically because priorities will be given to defense production, then we are at risk. Give more money to the MIC. If you're not prepared to give more money to the MIC, then we are at risk. Let me play you the video of this general, and I'm going to sign off for today. Like this video, share this channel, share this video, subscribe to this channel. Duran Shop in the description box down below, a link to the shop in the description box down below. We are on Substack. We are, definitely check us out on Substack. We are also on the Duran.locals.com. Definitely check us out on Locals. And you can find me and the Duran on Telegram, on Rumble, and on X. I'm exhausted. Let's call it a day. Let's edit this video and then call it a day. I'll see everybody tomorrow. Take care.
Parce qu'il n'est pas prêt à accepter de perdre ses enfants, parce qu'il faut dire les choses, de souffrir économiquement parce que les priorités iront à de la production de défense, par exemple. Si on n'est pas prêt à ça, alors on est en risque. Mais je pense qu'on a la force d'âme. La France a toujours démontré sa force d'âme dans les moments difficiles. Et là, on est dans le moment où il faut en parler. Il faut en parler dans vos communes.